a story this morning about medical missions. And medical missions have been a blessing around the world, as we know. We of course, realize that medical missions is not the means to an end itself, but is actually to be used as a tool of evangelism. Unfortunately, it used to be just liberals didn't recognize that, but now probably most of evangelicals don't realize that, and medical missions are, you know, there's great philanthropists around the world, well-meaning people, but the Word of God isn't being used. There are great conferences. There's a big conference in Atlanta every year, the Passion Conference, where thousands, maybe 20,000 people show up to lament and to talk about human trafficking, which is a terrible thing, but you know, unfortunately, the gospel is left out of much of that, and so it's turned into a social gospel. But this morning, I talk about two families that kept the perspective well in mind. And the first man, Howard Shoemake from Texas, he and his wife were called to the Dominican Republic, and he was a medical doctor also, and he began using the medical missions to plant Baptist churches. He fully understood what the Lord wanted him to do there, and he knew that it was only an instrument toward that accomplishment of planting churches. But he started a television ministry there in Santo Domingo, and then he began establishing clinics outside of the churches and ministered to hundreds of people there as he treated them for their medical problems. Now, the Dominican Republic has come a long way since the 1960s, and this was the 1960. It is a much more modern nation than it was back then, and for some reasons that I'll talk about this morning. But he had an interesting take on this. He had the patients pay $1 for the doctor services, for the doctor service, and then they received the medical attention for no cost after that. And that way, he wanted to instill some responsibility in the people. Then there was civil war in Dominican Republic, and this is a wonderful nation, rich in history. Actually, Columbus is buried there. This was Columbus's favorite country. He actually called it the land of God. He said he liked this country the most of all the ones that he had discovered, and so it's a wonderful little country, rich in heritage. And then this is a time right after Fidel Castro had his revolution in Cuba, and that revolution began to spill over into the Dominican. So there was civil war there. Thankfully, President Johnson, and this is something we don't even remember with all the turmoil in the 60s, President Johnson sent troops to Dominican Republic in the 60s to quell that rebellion, to preserve a democratic government there, and that was a good thing, and they are democratic today. I wonder where Major League Baseball would be without President Johnson. They stayed there during that civil war, and that was a very taxing and demanding time, but they labored faithfully there. After that, in 1965, another couple was called to the mission field by the name of Paul and Nancy Potter. And he was a successful pastor here in the United States, and he went to a mission conference where a missionary was speaking. And he asked the question, why has God called so few to serve the rest of the world and so many to serve in the United States? And he couldn't get that question out of his mind. And God was dealing with his heart during that conference. And so he and his wife surrendered themselves for service during that conference. And the Lord called them to the Dominican Republic to serve, first of all, with Pastor Shoemake, and then to begin their own works. And so then in 1966, along with their two little children, Susan and 5-year-old David, they went to Dominican Republic. Their first evangelistic meeting that they had there netted a number of converts. 12 people were saved, and out of that group, they started the first church there, for their first church there in that land. They built in their first. Time there, the first 4 years there, they built two flourishing churches and three mission chapels that were from those churches, and God was blessing as they used this medical missions. They also were doctors, and they used these medical missions to bring the people in. Then as their furlough drew to a close, They came back to the United States, and as they're filled with Judah clothes, someone asked Nancy why they would want to return to this really impoverished nation, war-torn nation. Again, still a completely different nation than it is today, but very, very sad time in the Dominican Republic. And she did not hesitate to respond that they had experienced the power of God upon their ministry, and it was the most satisfying lifestyle that anyone could choose. She said, nothing is more thrilling than seeing God working in these people's lives. And so they returned to the field in 1971, and they discovered that the churches had flourished, had grown as they had left them there under someone else's care. And at this time, they were seeing 200 patients weekly, and all those 200 were receiving a very clear gospel witness as they were treated medically, and the church was really growing. And Paul Potter, he really felt that he envisioned, and he wrote this, he envisioned that their goal would be to establish 5 additional churches before that term ended. Unfortunately, that goal was never realized, and some of you may remember this, but early on the morning of July 7th, 1971, 10-year-old David discovered the bloody bodies of his parents who had been bludgeoned and stabbed to death even as the children slept nearby that evening. Now, you know, this was an interesting thing. This swept the United States. Hundreds and hundreds of front pages carried this story. And I don't remember that exact moment, but I do remember my parents talking about this. This really concerned. These were people just like us, and this was these were our missionaries, and these were Baptist missionaries. And this shocking thing happening to this couple who was serving God there. And, I remember my parents. It was kind of real to us because my parents at one time had thought that God was calling them to Haiti, which is right next door on the same island. And so this really was an interesting thing to them. And, editorials, this is the early 70s, but papers carried this story, and editorials asked why would this happen to a couple that had given themselves to God? And no one was ever arrested. There was a couple of things. They thought it may be just a robbery, and then they also... Later, the theory that has been the most long-lived is that the doctors in the Dominican hired somebody to kill them because they were taking all their patients and they were getting the free care of these people and weren't coming to the doctors. So, we'll probably never know till we get to heaven if the Lord chooses to show us that. But, there's a lot of questions like that. Why was James martyred when Peter escaped? Actually, we're learning a verse on our bus this month. It's Peter. It's 1 Peter 3:17, where Peter says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well than to suffer for evil." And maybe Peter had these questions also in his mind. As he saw, Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born, and yet he was martyred brutally. Why does God allow these things? And some of these things we'll never know. But God knows when He calls that there may be great sacrifice. And so we think of our missionaries today. I think it was just mentioned in church the other night about is it Ed Ray in China, and the we can't appreciate the what goes on there as they have an underground church and the brutality that goes on even today. To people that are preaching the gospel, so just a good story about these wonderful people who were martyred in our time, and a reminder for us to remember those that are serving the Lord and pray for their safety and that God's will be done in their lives.